Thank you for joining us for Talk Chef, the podcast where we talk about Top Chef. I am your host, John Drake. You may know me as Top Scallop, possibly Young Crudo. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Boston Baked Beans, Ash Flynn.
It is baked beans. I love that.
Boston Baked Beans. You know, because you're from Boston and you got beans, I assume.
Correct.
You're vegetarian for so long. You must like beans.
No.
What?
It's the least British thing about me is that I don't particularly like beans.
Unbelievable. What did you eat for protein?
That's a good question.
Oh, no.
Cheese, probably.
All right. Cheese has a lot of protein. That's good. That's good. How are you doing this week?
Oh, you know, been better, been worse. Still in quarantine. Getting there. How about you?
We're getting there. I got my vaccine appointment for Monday, so I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to get jabbed. I mean, it's only one of two, so I got 6 more weeks before I'll be able to do anything, because you got to wait 3 weeks for the second one, and then you got to wait for your antibodies and all that. But still, it's a step in the right direction, you know?
Yeah. Team Moderna or Pfizer? What are we doing?
Well, I had a Pfizer appointment for May 1st, and then I snagged a Moderna appointment for Monday, so I'm a bit of a traitor right now. Uh-oh. Team Pfizer is going to jump me out.
Team Pfizer is going to jump you out.
Pfizer gang don't play. I want a Johnson & Johnson. Give me one and done so I can get in and get out, but no, it wasn't happening.
It's not as effective, I've heard.
I'm relatively young and relatively healthy. You know, I feel like I would have been okay.
Well, it must be nice to be young and healthy.
Relatively. We're the same age.
I feel very elderly.
I know. You have a lot of elderly tendencies, to be fair.
Yeah.
A lot of your hobbies would fit, you know, at a retirement home. You wouldn't be out of place. You'd have people to talk to and stuff to talk about.
That's true. We did shear the sheep today. So, you know, cottagecore.
Yeah, you're not just old. You're old and Scottish. Mm. So you're a unique kind of old person. You live in New England, Nash, not England. So, you know, try to find some new hobbies.
England in 1756.
Yeah. You individually are living in Old England, but you live in New England.
Correct.
So we had a fun episode this week. We'll get into it, do our little categories. I got to talk a little bit, though, about... I had my fantasy draft last week with my group of Top Chef friends, my friend Craig, his wife, and my friend Lori, and my wife Jamie. And we did teams, me and Craig versus Jamie and Lori, guys versus girls. And they got first pick, and they went Shota, which seems to be paying off. And we got Dawn and Sarah, though not too bad picks. But we were convinced our sleeper was going to be Sasha, that she was the steal we got late in the draft, and that was going to save our season. And we'll talk more about why that does not appear to be the case later. But yeah, we'll get into that. This is not going to be a Top Chef fantasy podcast, don't worry. We won't get into this every week. I just had to bring it up that I'm feeling confident, you know, for another victory this year. I'm ready. I'm game. Ready to go. What do you think about those picks?
I am worried for you.
I think Dawn showed some real gumption this week, so I'm excited to have her on my team.
That's true. Dawn is good. And I like that she sort of got the opportunity to have a team that wasn't set up well to work together at all, and they really pulled it out.
Yeah, and I think it'll be fun to talk about the teams, how they were set up, and how it ended up playing out, because the most harmonious teams did not end up being the most successful necessarily. Right. And that can happen a lot. Now, do you have an update for us on Nash's new protein of the week? Have you tried anything new since our last recording? What'd you get?
What's it called? Sole? It's like a fish.
Yes, it's a thin fish. A lot of bones in it, right? Like a lot of little bones.
I didn't notice any bones, so I probably ate a lot of bones.
Or you got it from a fishmonger.
Oh, yeah. There was a fish
for you.
Dude.
Yeah. That's all right. What'd you think?
It was good, actually. I think it's one of my favorite fishes so far. I'm not a fish person. My husband really is, because he also enjoys fishing a lot, which has been a strain on our marriage because I don't trust fish. I don't like anything that didn't crawl out of the ocean with us when we all left, personally.
So have you looked around the world lately, though? Can you really blame them? They might have had the right idea.
I mean, at this point, yes, I would crawl back into the primordial soup. But if they didn't leave with us and just question it, I don't like the way their eyes are. It's just a vibe I don't agree with.
You know what? Respect. They do have weird eyes. I will grant you that. And you're not far off the mark. But so Sol gets a thumbs up, huh? One of your favorite fishes you've had so far.
Yeah, it was pretty good. We've eaten a lot of fish. He's really testing the limits of what he can get me to try. But Sol is good.
Can I make a small request that we have a land-based protein for next week, just because we don't want the listeners to get bored of all the fish recommendations?
Well, I'll have to find a farm near us that kills sheep frequently.
Oh, no. Not the ones you just sheared.
Well, no, not ours. Okay. Because lamb is babies. So we only have a mom and a baby. But if we kill the baby, the mom will probably be pretty mad at us.
I don't think she would appreciate that. And I would feel guilty if you were John needs material for the podcast. I'm sorry. So no, don't do that. Don't do it, and don't blame me if you do.
Okay, done.
So before we dive into our categories, Carrie's back. Carrie Baird, funeral potatoes herself. Fancy toast. I love it. Big Carrie fan. I'm going to Denver, hopefully in the fall. So I really want to try her restaurant when I'm there. She has a place, Bardot, I think she's still at. If it's not, then I won't go there.
Cause you could still go there. You don't
know. I don't want to, though. I only want to go because maybe I'll meet Carrie. You know, I'm definitely like, if I ever go to a city, I'm always trying to find the top chef restaurants in that city just to see if anyone that I'm really into has a place out there. And I definitely want to try some fancy toast. So
yeah, for sure. You'll have to Zoom me and let me know how it is.
For sure. Richard's hair, pretty normal this week.
I was sad. Yeah. Know? Richard's hair watch.
It's going to be a recurring segment. I feel like he's going to be in every episode this season, so we're going to need to keep an eye on it. But no, it's pretty tame. Not the crazy pompadour look of the first episode, just kind of a slicked back wave. I don't know what you'd call it.
It was just, you know, episode one, the first shot we got of Richard, he looked wide-eyed and like crazy pants, and his hair was like 4 feet tall, and just, and now I feel a little let down by Richard's hair.
Yeah, he kind of looked like a cartoon character in the first week, and now he's gradually turning into a real boy. I was glad to see him, and Padma really giving it to him during the quickfire over his order. She was not happy with him. She let him know that she thought he was a little out of line making them cook all this stuff. The quickfire this week was pairs of two had to cook a diner special dish for the judges. So somebody would call out steak and eggs, for example, and then the first two chefs to ring the bell got to cook steak and eggs, so on and so forth. So I feel like the chefs ate a lot of really heavy food because diner breakfast food tends to be very filling. So the guys on the end might have had more of a challenge because those judges were not ready to be eating corned beef hash after seven plates that came before it.
Yeah, lots of eggs not making plates, though.
What is up with that? I mean, time management, guys. Come on. I know you're new to the game, but
plate your eggs.
Sasha didn't even make eggs.
I know, she forgot. Well, she was just straight up, I didn't know eggs existed.
She's like, she looked at her ticket. She's like, eggs? Oh, no. And then she said, meh, whatever.
Right? She was like, of course people would just order vegetable hash for breakfast.
Without eggs. I wouldn't order vegetable hash for breakfast with eggs. Never mind, right. Without eggs. That's just nonsense.
I'd be like, you can leave the hash out and just fry me an egg.
Just give me fried potatoes and eggs and I'll be happy. Yeah, no kale, no spinach, none of that crap.
Or just make the hollandaise sauce and I'll just drink that.
You're a hollandaise fan, huh?
I am. I mean, I'm a little spoiled because I make it with like fresh eggs. So
We don't all live on a farm, Nash. No, but I bet that is good. I like hollandaise. I don't like it enough to ever make it. And, you know, restaurants don't exist anymore, I don't think. So I haven't had it in a long time.
But you know what? I don't want to brag, but it is really easy.
Really? Yeah. I always thought people complain about it breaking a lot.
Well, I don't care if it's broken. Like, it's still delicious at my house.
Yeah, you're not going for presentation. Yeah, presentation is not your priority.
No, it's just good, even if it is broken.
All right. Anything else you wanted to call out about the quickfire?
So Jamie is not my favorite contestant, but I have to say the moment where they announced that she was the winner, she was just like, what? It's a very relatable moment.
I feel like I started to turn a corner on Jamie this week.
I'm worried about turning a corner on her. I feel like she's going to let me in just in time to get eliminated.
Oh, yeah. She's not going to make it to the end for sure. But, you know, she could be a fun character to root for. Yeah. And then you see someone like Stephanie last season kind of struggled in the early going and then made it all the way to the end. So she could be the dark horse of the season. I don't know how much time she has on the whole, like, I make noises instead of words bit before it starts getting annoying.
Yeah, basically speaks in web dings.
Yes. I'm like, right now I'm still okay with it, but I could see like week seven. Yeah. So someone's, oh, make this. And she's like, whoa. I'm going to be like, all right, enough is enough. You know, you're an adult. At some point you got to use your words. I have two toddlers. I say use your words all the time. I don't want to have to yell it at the TV.
I also have that same problem. I feel like I say that sentence 12 times a day.
Don't use their fucking words, man.
Or it's nonsense. My son told me today, this is an aside, he told me today that if he didn't have long sleeves on, he would never find happiness.
You know what? I do love hoodie weather and sweater weather, so I kind of get it, but it seems dramatic.
It is dramatic. He's a very dramatic 3-year-old.
All right. I get it, though. Respect.
I mean, we're living in a pandemic, so.
Yeah, everyone's going to come out of this with some weird tics. So if his thing is he likes long sleeves, then it could be worse.
I mean, if that's where we're deriving happiness, I think as a parent, I'm fine with it.
Right. And then we get the news that it's going to be a beer challenge. Beer and coffee.
I love it.
Two things I enjoy. I like beer more, though.
I'm a coffee person.
Yeah, but you're a beer person, to an extent. Well, your husband is.
Yes, he brews.
Yeah, as I do. Certified Cicerone, which means I'm like a beer scientist, I guess. But I was very excited to see a Cooking with Beer challenge, because I think there is a lot you can do with it. I don't know if they used it to their full potential, but it was exciting to see. And Portland, you know, is obviously a very famous beer city, so I knew that there was going to be one of these eventually. I hope beer kind of gets a standalone challenge at some point, though, and it's not lumped in with coffee.
Agreed. Although I'm holding out for the marijuana challenge.
You think they'll do it? I wonder.
No, I don't think that they will.
There was a whole show on Netflix about that, like cooking with weed.
Yes, it was actually, it was very watchable.
You should have been on it.
Right? That's what I say.
I make brownies. And I made a cookie once, and that's it. That's all I do.
I made marshmallows recently, and they were very good. Duck meatballs is the next thing once we start culling some of the ducks.
Oh, I love duck meatballs.
Come and have a weed duck meatball.
Oh, you're going to put weed in them? I thought we were just talking about duck meatballs. Oh, no. Now I'm double excited.
It's going to be a marijuana cooking event. Duck meatballs and then like a garlic bread with also weed in.
Oh, hell yeah. Hmm. I might have to crash at the farm, though.
Absolutely. We can just get you a tent.
All right, perfect. Season one winner Harold Dieterle had a restaurant called Perea in Manhattan that I was able to attend before it sadly closed, and their signature dish was spicy duck meatballs, and they were fucking awesome.
I can't wait to try duck meatballs. We've got two Peking ducks that they look delicious like walking around, and I've never felt that about a bird.
Just picture them like you're like a cartoon character. You see them and you get the thought bubble. It's just them, you know, on a platter.
Ever since we took down a chicken, I look at those ducks and I'm like, you guys are meaty. This is gonna be really good.
Your time is almost up, duckling. But I got a weed seltzer. I got a 4-pack of weed seltzers.
Oh, shit. That sounds good.
It was good. I liked it. It sets on a lot faster than a regular edible would, but it also fades a lot faster. So it's more of like you want to take 2 hours and just kind of chill out on the couch. It's a good way to do it.
That sounds incredible.
Or you could chug a 4-pack and just, you know, see what universe you end up in.
Asleep.
Just hide your car keys. Yeah, you'll be asleep. All right. So let's dig into some categories. We're going to have some categories with less to choose from than usual. Everything was kind of friendly this week for the most part. There was Cliche Kitchen. Let's kick it off with Cliche Kitchen this week. The only thing I really wanted to call out that I thought was kind of a Top Chef overdone thing is the super confident team of best friends that go on to crash and burn with Sasha and Brittany, who the whole episode is building up like, we're the best friends, teehee. And then I feel like it puts them in a place where they're not willing to call each other out if they don't like something. And there just ends up being this kind of mediocre dish, which probably could have been great if they'd been a little more forceful with each other and stood their ground a little harder to try to get their vision across. I don't know. Do you find that to be like a cliche you've seen in Top Chef before?
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, for my notes for this one, I sort of have the opposite problem where we had the team with Dawn and
Gabriel.
Yes, I wanted to say Gabe, but I knew I was wrong.
They both go by Gabe, I think, but for the purposes of keeping everyone straight, we'll call Tom Colicchio's ex-employee Gabriel, and then Gabe will be the other gentleman.
You know, he was like, oh man, you know, they were doing a talking head, and he was like, I can't believe we got stuck together on a team, which is also sort of on another category, not here to make friends. Why would you say that right now? And so I thought that felt very, oh man, we're going to struggle to work together, but then we're going to pull it out, obviously, because we don't need to talk and be nice to each other enough.
Right, and when you don't have that personal connection to somebody, you're more likely to say, no. I really want, for example, the rib rub to have pepper on it. And Dawn was able to put her foot down and they came out with a winning dish. And Gabriel was able to put his foot down and get his compressed watermelons with the sour beer. And everyone seemed to love that. Yeah, I do think it can be a gift and a curse to have somebody you get along with really well on your team. Because, sure, it might be a harmonious experience. But if you don't put the best dish out because you're scared of hurting somebody's feelings, what did you really gain? You know, you had fun for 2 hours, but I'm sure you would have preferred to still be in the Top Chef kitchen cooking.
Well, you're in Last Chance Kitchen now, half of you.
God, it's such a long road back from Last Chance Kitchen now, though, you know? If you go to Last Chance Kitchen, like episode 11, I'm like, all right, you might be okay, but...
Yeah, I'm actually curious. We should do some research on who has come back from the farthest point from Last Chance
From the
kitchen.
Farthest. Yeah, I'd be curious to find out.
Because it's definitely not episode 2.
No, it's further than that. I know Naisha went on a big run in her season. I really want to go back and check that. Yeah, Last Chance Kitchen is one of the things I'm not caught up on. And I guess before we get into the categories next week, we'll do a Last Chance Kitchen recap, because we're going to have to start keeping up with that before we get into these episodes. So, Scallop and Crudo Watch had no entries this week. Gabriel mentioned it when he was doing his Whole Foods shopping, and he said, oh, scallop thing. But then either he didn't buy them, or he bought them and didn't use them, so we got nothing. I mean, beer and coffee don't really go with crudo, so they would have definitely overpowered any raw preparation you would do, and also doesn't really tie into diner food.
Right. It was a bummer, though, to not have anybody in that category.
Yeah. And I feel like just the way the challenges have been going these first 2 weeks, we don't really know what this group's propensity is for scallops and crudo, because they've kind of been pushed into a box every week in every challenge where they don't have the latitude to really do a scallop and or a crudo. It wouldn't have fit any challenge they've had yet.
Although I would like to see scallop Jamie try to attempt this season, to be honest, because she found the room for scallops everywhere.
Oh, yeah. She would squeeze them in somewhere. She'd be like, I made a puree of beer and scallops.
Gross.
Served it over coffee beans. I don't know. Like, Jamie. I always loved the scene of her hiding behind the table when they wanted her to go up in like the head-to-head competition.
Yeah.
They couldn't find her. I don't know if it was editing, but she was literally like hiding under a table. That's one of my favorite shots from Top Chef All-Stars 1. Bit in the ass. Just common Top Chef mistakes people make. It's got to be time management, right?
Right. Get your eggs on the plate.
Get your fucking eggs on the plate. Avishar had time management problems with his fritters. These people are not in the quick fire mindset yet. They're still dilly-dallying about, and they really got to get it together, man.
But look, in their defense, I think this is a very hard season to have time management skills for because they spent 6 months having no need for time management anything. Right?
It's true. Yeah. Even if the restaurants are open, they probably weren't nearly as busy as they're used to. Right.
Nobody's pressuring them for time.
Yeah, that's fair. But I mean, we got Dawn and Sasha not getting eggs on the plate. Nelson and Chris both missing several components of their dish, even though Richard gave them like 14 components to try to fit on a dish in time. And the judges didn't really seem to go too hard on them for missing those components. So I feel like they threw a lot at them, kind of expecting them to fall short in some way, and they cut them some slack. Yeah, but that's really all I have for Bit in the Ass this week. Nobody made any classic Top Chef blunders. I thought somebody was going to try to make a cake, like with coffee for dessert or something, but no, nobody did it.
Nobody did it.
It would have been funny with the twist Tom gave them where they had to combine the beer and the coffee, and if you were trying to go dessert route, your ingredients wouldn't really work.
That's true.
But wasn't anything too noteworthy for that category. The Not Here to Make Friends award, I think, is pretty obvious who's getting this one. And it's the almost winners of the week. It's Dawn and Gabe.
It sure is. I believe the quote is, man, she is just steamrolling everything.
Dawn accused Gabriel of trying to chef-splain to her, which, to be fair, he was doing.
Absolutely.
Dawn is a very accomplished chef in her own right. I don't think she needed anyone to tell her how to cook her food, and her ribs almost won them the whole thing, so seems like she was right. But in Gabriel's defense, he was also right about having the compressed watermelons, because that was called out by Kwame as one of the best on the plate. Yeah, I mean, Sasha was getting a little chippy during the quick fire, but it seemed like friendly, like kind of a friendly banter instead of a real argument, which it seemed like Dawn and Gabriel were on the verge of a real argument at some point.
Yeah, for sure. But I think it was altogether, like, they do make much more of an attempt to be friendly than the earliest seasons of the show.
Yeah, those early seasons are kind of tough to watch. Like, they're uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, same. I mean, I watched them very recently and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, it's because it feels not only like the contestants were more willing to throw down and, you know, argue, but the producers were also like encouraging it. I feel like there was a lot more shots of them like at the house drunk in the old seasons than there are now. They really tend to focus on the food.
Well, I mean, in the first three seasons, we have what? The hair escapade and also the cheating thing, right? That was...
That might have been season five. Hosea and Leah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was season five. But that was a scandal for sure.
Whoops.
Now, season three in Miami, we had Howie and the other gentleman, I can't remember, like getting in each other's face and screaming in the stew room and cursing each other out. Season four, you had Spike and Dale and, you know, everybody getting into it in the stew room and that famous scene. Yeah. We don't see that anymore.
I think the last time we really saw it was the self-proclaimed, the most hated chef.
John Tizar, yeah.
His first season, not his most recent one.
Even his most recent one, him and Katsuji had a lot of back and forth, but
that's
Katsuji
true.
Seemed to be giving as good as he was getting. He wasn't, you know, just on the receiving end like a lot of people in John's first season were.
Yeah, for sure.
Katsuji seems like he could be a difficult person to work with, but his food always looked good to me.
Right. I would definitely not want to have a beer with him, but I would like to eat at a restaurant in which he stayed in the kitchen.
Correct. So what are your favorite dishes from this week? Would you want to call out as something that looked delicious?
I'm going to regret this one, but Tom, what a sweater.
Okay. All right. Take it down a notch.
I was like Tom Colicchio with the quarantine sweater look. I'm here for it, you know?
I mean, that's Portland, though, baby. He's in Portland, you know? He's really buying into that lifestyle.
Yeah.
He's going to show up to the next challenge on a fucking tandem bike with Padma. You'll see.
I just can't wait for the blunt behind his ear. You know what I mean? Like, I want Tom Colicchio to fully embrace.
You think Tom smokes?
Yes.
He just seems so straight-laced on the show. But then, yeah, you see him outside of that context. He seems like he probably parties a little.
I mean, I saw a picture of him with hair, and that man used to smoke. I don't know if he still does as a bald dude, but...
I mean, he was a chef in New York in the 80s. He was probably doing more than smoking.
Well, yeah. Smoking was the come down after the reels of cocaine he and Anthony Bourdain probably did.
I read Kitchen Confidential. I know what's up. New York in the 80s was a fucking madhouse. So, all right, so aside from Tom, what was your most tastiest looking dish of the week?
Oh, let's see. You know what? I think the stout tortilla was just sort of incredible looking, and everyone just kept saying it smelled really good, and I'm like, I would eat that. Yeah. That was Gabe and Sarah's dish, the pork tenderloin.
Right. And fresh tortillas are just one of the best things in the world, and now you put beer in it, like, delicious. From this master chef who clearly knows how to make a tortilla. I bet that was incredible.
So good.
I was almost going to pick Gabe's quick fire dish, but I don't want, you know, we can't heap all the praise on Gabe in one episode. We need to spread it out. But his steak and eggs with the black garlic molasses looked amazing. I really wanted some of that. But like the lobster thermidor chili relleno, I wanted to call out as being an exciting dish because, I don't know, I love chili relleno. I love lobster thermidor, even though it's very rare you see it on a menu these days. It's like a very old-timey type of dish that you might find at some like old American restaurants that still do those turn of the century dishes. So I was a little shocked to even see it brought up in this context, but then stuff it inside a chili pepper and I was like, okay, this is wild and I'm here for it. And it looked great and they seemed to really like it. So
what I like about that dish is they had sort of the opposite problem from Brittany and Sasha is they were excited to work together. They took their two dishes and they conceptualized them as one dish. You know, they took the parts that would work together and they cut everything else instead of having this dish where they were both so excited to make these separate dishes and just shoved them together on a plate.
Right. I think part of that is ego too. If you cut, if you put your ego aside, you can recognize this ingredient that I really wanted to bring to the table just might not work anymore. So let's cut it. You know, there's a pride, I think. And well, no, I bought all this stuff. We got to use some of it instead of just saying what you bought, you know, will make a more cohesive dish. And yeah, Nelson seemed super, super into the idea and really didn't put up any fight about kind of abandoning his original vision. And that's just the sign of a good team.
Right. And I love that Maria had this little moment where I'm so excited to speak Spanish with someone. I was like, I love that for you too.
Yeah, good for them. They both seem delightful. And I could see either of them going far. I honestly think Nelson hasn't really gotten a lot of screen time, but it's still a crowded field, so that's bound to happen. But I'm really interested to see how far he goes because I think he's got an outside chance at going the distance this year.
Yeah, for sure. Maria too. I think she was also really great.
Yeah, Maria looks solid. What about your harshest criticism?
Oh, man. I feel like, for me, the harshest criticism came from Padma. It almost always does, except for A Bowl Full of Fear. You know, it was about Brittany and Sasha's dish, which we've sort of shit on a lot lately. Yes. But her quote was, "This dish has no holistic identity." And wow, that burns, because I've never looked at a dish and been like, wow, this has holistic identity, but now maybe I'm wondering if I should.
Right, and what dish is... You're probably more likely to notice when a dish doesn't have it than when one does. It's one of those things you never miss until it's gone. The holistic identity of a plate. So, yeah, she's really ruined a food for you in general forever. Yeah, never. So, thanks,
I'll never
Padma.
Forgive this.
She also, I mean, we already mentioned just getting after Richard, you know, not letting him breathe for a second during the quickfire, but Richard is not a contestant and therefore not eligible for this award.
Still hurts, you know?
Still hurts for sure, but I'm going to have to go. They described Chris's pasta as brittle, which is not a word you ever want to hear describe cooked pasta. You're like, it was crunchy? Really? My mind immediately goes to like peanut brittle. It's crunchy. It's a little chewy. Gets stuck in your teeth. No, that's not what you want out of your freshly made pasta, which looked great. I mean, with the striped pasta.
Right.
Shouts to Mustache Joe Sasto. Really got some throwback vibes. But no, striped pasta is a difficult preparation. But he couldn't get the texture down, so you got your pasta described as brittle. I'm glad Chris didn't go home for that, though, because at least he was being ambitious, and I got to respect that, you know, so.
Just,
never...
you know, when you make a tortellini and it gets described as not enough filling and also dry and brittle, you just know you've done something wrong, or maybe you haven't cooked it?
It was fresh pasta, so if he hadn't cooked it, it would be mushy.
Right.
So there's no good.
Did he bake it? Like, I don't understand.
Oh, you just throw it in the oven. It's a lot easier.
Popped it in the toaster.
So, no. Elimination predictions for next week. I am going to have to double down because personally, I feel like she should have went home this week. Didn't. I'm going Brittany again.
Yeah, Brittany was up at my list. I'm going to put Jamie back on mine. She was my pick last week. She had immunity this week, so John immediately texted me to tell me that I was going to be wrong. It's fine. I can be wrong. I'm not going to be wrong next week. Jamie's going home.
Oh, snap. I don't know. I think Jamie could be like a mid-season exit. I could see her getting to Restaurant Wars and maybe getting pressured into being front of the house and then going home. That's my prediction, actually. You know, mark it down. Jamie will make it to Restaurant Wars. She will be pressured into being front of the house because she's nice. And then she'll go home for it.
I can't imagine trying to order food and having the waitress speak Webdings.
Oh, how does that prepare? Like, oh, no. That okay. doesn't tell me anything I need to know. Yeah, I'm going Brittany, I think. So let's get into the elimination for this episode. Sasha and Brittany. We're on the bottom. Yep. Brittany, with another quote for the ages after last week's I'm not a rice person, she said, are we on the bottom? To Sasha, after they called up the top teams. And Sasha was just like, yeah, we're on the fucking bottom. What do you think we're doing out here?
Well, now we know Alpine food is not typically award winning, but it's also never the bottom somehow.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, there might be Alpine specific awards, but I've never seen any. No, I don't think. Something about Brittany's style, I don't think is translating well to the competition. She seems like a fine person. I mean, there are people who hang around the bottom all season and then, you know, somehow squeak by, but I just don't see it going. I think the field is too strong this year. Right. I think almost everyone else who's been on the bottom has kind of just been there out of circumstance. One bad dish, and then they seem to have redeemed themselves, but Brittany's the only one I consistently see kind of making those mistakes.
Yeah. For sure.
So that's why I'm sticking with her. And I thought Sasha was going to be a force this year, so I'm a little disappointed she's in Last Chance Kitchen already.
I agree. I think she was a surprise. You know, when their dish was on the bottom, I was like, oh, goodbye, Brittany. But then I remembered we sort of had some, like, moments with Sasha, like, talking about our personal life, which is sometimes an indicator that they're going to cut somebody. So that was a bummer. I do like that she acknowledged at the very beginning that it was very hard to be social after being, you know, stuck in your house for this long. And that's a mood. I can feel that.
Oh, for sure. We're all going to be super weird when we're finally allowed out. And these poor chefs. They got to go hang out for 6 weeks and then they got sent right back into lockdown, you know, like when they got back from Portland, they probably had to go back into quarantine.
Oh, so sure.
They but got teased.
Yeah, no, but I think the weirder part was, you know, they've been in quarantine with either just alone or with their families. And then they break quarantine to join the show. They're with all these producers. They're like living on top of their contestants. So they go from nothing to everything.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Like exposure therapy, just all or nothing. But I think I don't see Sasha making it all the way back from episode 2, Last Chance Kitchen. She's basically starting off Last Chance Kitchen, unless they do one of those things where they bring one person back like halfway through.
Oh, those are crazy.
They don't always do them. Yeah. It changes the vibe. I'm not particularly a big fan of that because then I feel like you're not penalized for getting eliminated early as much. But if they do it, I could see Sasha making it back for one of those, and that would be cool.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to call out Gail specifically on this one. I think she looks great. I always think Gail looks great. But the quote love me some Gail. Sarah, you have a thing with yogurt. Clearly, you work well with Gabe and with yogurt was so strange to me.
Yeah, Gail doesn't get as much attention for like her verbal misfires as Padma does sometimes, but she gets a few of them. I don't know if she's being cheeky sometimes or if they're just slip-ups, but yeah, that one was a little odd.
I think sometimes Gail goes for this like wide-eyed innocence that I find lovely, and I think sometimes it is very genuine, and so that's why I think we miss it when Padma does this innuendo that's like very forced. And I was like, oh, Gail, are we playing some kind of dating show right now?
Though there was something about Sarah you wanted to bring up as well. Yeah. And why don't you go ahead and give us, you know, your thoughts on this?
Sarah, sweetheart, what the fuck is with the fish?
Did she bring that fish from home, or is that just a fish that was there that she adopted?
She definitely said it's her lucky fish. I don't feel like you get a lucky fish unless you bring it with you.
So she brought this fish from home. Well, she's from Portland, so it wouldn't be a long journey for the fish. Wouldn't have to swim up many streams or anything. But
what on earth? And it was like on a high shelf.
Everyone was jumping to reach it. I don't know why it was all the way up there. Maybe like the cleaning crew comes in when they're out and she didn't want someone to accidentally throw it away.
Or maybe they're worried about COVID, so it has to stay up there where it can't be contaminated. I don't know. I was like, what on earth? Way to open an episode and not acknowledge that just happened.
Did they mention what kind? Was it a salmon? It looked like a salmon to me, right?
Oh, you're asking the wrong person.
No, you're like the fish expert now. You've eaten more fish this week than I have.
Not by choice, necessarily.
I've just been eating ham. We still got Easter leftovers.
Oh, damn.
Easter is the ham holiday in my house. We do ham and lamb and yams. We almost did clams.
But no spam?
No, no Spam. We didn't do Spam. Ham and Spam, you're kind of checking the same box with those two.
I don't think I've ever eaten either.
Ham or Spam? You've never had ham? Really?
Maybe when I was a small child, but...
My stepdad made Spam a lot, and not the Monty Python production, but he made Spam often. So I'm not a fan of it now, because it's just super salty. I always remember needing a drink, and I never had a drink for some reason when I was eating it, and it made me resent it. But bummer. Yeah, Spam's like condensed ham. I don't know. It's just everything there is about ham. Spam is like a concentrated version of that. It's like that super salty, porky flavor.
It's like also kind of sweet, right?
It can't. Yeah, it has some sweetness to it. And there are different varieties of Spam you can buy that are more sweet. Because mm-hmm. some Hawaiian dishes utilize the sweeter ones.
I actually know that from Top Chef.
See? Yeah, they went for a finale once, right? They'll do a full season there one time. We'll see.
Oh, I have a late entry for our faux pas. If you're going to call something a foam, it should be a foam. Stop just, using inaccurate descriptions.
Maybe just don't make foams. I feel like we don't need foams anymore.
We don't. We've evolved past foams.
That was like cutting edge 15 years ago, but nobody's really interested in it anymore. Every time I get one at a restaurant, I feel like it just...
It's gross.
The texture is off to me.
And I felt like that when Marcel was super into foams, and he did foams with everything. And that was 15 years ago.
Right. That was season 2 of Top Chef, and we're in season 18 now.
Come on. No foams.
In every season, I feel like there's one contestant that's, I'm the scientist, and it seems to be Avishar. Richard. Yeah. Well, Richard is the blueprint for this, but it seems like Avishar has taken that mantle this season. He's not annoying with it. He doesn't seem to be too over the top about it, but I don't need all the foams.
Right. Stop the foams. You can do science. That's fine. We're very pro-science.
Yeah, carbonating the grapes, that's cool. I'm into that. I would like to try that, but yeah, we don't need all the films. All right, so I think that wraps up this week of Talk Chef. Any closing thoughts, Nash?
Man, what a good, like, coffee and beer. What a good episode that had very little drama, you know?
Yeah. Not a super exciting episode to talk about, but a fun episode to watch. Nice early season, easygoing
type episode. Right, it was relaxing.
Well, I'm ready for the drama. Let's kick it up a notch next week.
Right, let's get Gail to force Gabe and Sarah on a date.
All right. Me and Gail could be forced to go on a date. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
I mean, I'd support that. Tom and I will go with you.
All right. To be fair, this is just a friendly date. I am married. Nash is married. Gail is also married, I'm pretty sure.
Tom is also married, I believe.
Tom is married. We're just going as friends.
Yeah. But then it'll be the New Year's Eve, like, swinger thing. Like, maybe you don't make it back to the right room. It's fine. We're fine.
This is Nash going off on her own tangent. I do not endorse this. Thanks for joining us. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts if they do that sort of thing. And tune in next week where we'll see if Brittany or Jamie finally goes home. Thanks for joining us. Bye.